Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome to episode 11 of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, junior editor at Comic Book Movie.
You may James, know... junior editor. That's your full
That's
name.
That's my full name. You may know me as Mr. Sunday, and joining me as always is my co-host, Nick Mason.
It's great to be here, Mr. Junior Editor.
It sure is. What
Mr.
a week.
Manager.
That's what a week it's been. Has it been a good week for you?
Yes.
Has it been a good week for comic book movie news?
Yes.
It sure has. I thought that we'd only be talking about The Amazing Spider-Man 2 this week.
Uh-huh.
Because that was like the big thing.
Uh-huh, sure.
Because the trailer was coming out, and did,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we'll talk about in a bit. But then there was also other news. News that blew minds across the internet.
I'm ready. Were they enraged?
A little bit, somewhat.
I'm ready to be enraged.
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Now, I'm sure you've heard this, because everybody
I'm
heard.
Feeling a white hot, like a just a white hot dot in my brain, just building and building and building. And whatever news you have, I'm going to unleash it on that news.
Love it. Okay, you like women in comic book movies, right?
Yes.
Good. I thought you were going to... So you're not going to release your white hot rage on that? Because you're sexist?
Yeah, no, that's... I'll save it for another one.
Okay.
You've trapped me. I'm not going to. I'm gonna push it aside.
Okay, so Gal Gadot, or Gal Gadot, it's G-A-D-O-T.
We are going to learn in future how to pronounce that.
We certainly are.
Because the news is going to tell us how to pronounce
that's
that.
That's right.
But we're not going to... We don't know.
No, God no. Why would we?
I'm going to say Gal Gadot.
I think it's Gal Gadot.
Like Waiting for Godot.
I had a friend who saw that play. You know, it's got Ian McKellen, apparently it's like all existential and...
Uh-huh, sure.
But he said it was arty-farty bullshit. That's what
there you go. Well, as we know, theatre, it's for nerds.
It is for nerds, that's right. Confirmed. Anyway, she's been cast as Wonder Woman
mm-hmm.
in the Batman vs. Superman movie, which is the Man of Steel sequel, which may also feature The Flash, which is not the Justice League movie, though it sounds a lot like a Justice League movie.
It does sound like it's building up to be a Justice League movie, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of that? I mean, first of all, what do you think of her being in the movie? Not the actor, but Wonder Woman in Justice League.
What, do you mean Man of Steel?
Man, yes, two.
Edit around. We'll edit around it. It's going to be great. I'm hesitant because of character overload.
Yep.
Which, you know... Classically, it's been villain overload.
Yeah.
This might be hero overload.
Could very well be.
But, you know, only three. It's
yeah, fine. Well, and possibly The Flash.
Okay, so four.
Well, they're talking about...
Maybe Green Arrow.
Maybe Green Arrow, why not?
Yep.
They were talking maybe, well, the rumour is that it'll be a smallish role.
Uh-huh.
And she might not even be Wonder Woman. She might just be Diana Prince.
Yep.
And who knows, maybe she'll just turn up at the very end and... Maybe a cameo after the end credits, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I think all these things as well, they'll do nothing but help the movie at the box office.
Totally.
Because who's not going to see this? Because every few months they're like, well, not even every few weeks, they drop something else.
Mm.
And it's blowing minds.
Unless...
Maybe not in a good way, but...
No, not at all. Unless we get kind of... At what point do you think we're going to hit the superhero movie wall?
Mm.
Where people lose interest completely in superhero movies?
I think they're going to have to start changing it up soon, because a lot of them are getting pretty formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I'm getting sick of everything grim.
Yep.
But I also don't like too much humour. Can I be pleased?
You cannot be pleased.
No.
No. We are the people of the internet. Can you make us happy? No, you cannot, movie industry.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, I think it must be coming to a tipping point though, right? Yeah. Where there's too many comic book movies.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we do then with this podcast?
We can talk about other things.
Not
well. We don't know anything about anything else. We barely know about this.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about as far as the actress goes?
Well, I have zero opinion, but I just Googled her name.
Good work.
And the first three news results, Superman versus Batman, no Wonder Woman, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the second one says, Gal Gadot, too skinny to play Wonder Woman.
Wow.
I know, right?
It's funny you should
say started that. On the body issue straight away.
We did.
Uncool. Uncool, the media and the people who said those things.
Well, the thing is, though, that is a common complaint, that she doesn't look very Wonder Woman because uh-huh. she's quite skinny, you know, which is true. But it's not like... If
she's... You can say that about Christian Bale, when you're like, hey, he was in The Machinist.
Well, that's
he
right.
He doesn't look very Batman-like,
well, that's
does
exactly
he?
Right. It's not like there's not time for her to bulk up uh-huh. between now and then. It's not... Yeah. I don't think it's an issue at all.
It's not an issue, and I think the media at this point should really learn. Like, during the Avengers, you know, they would say...
Are we the media?
Yeah, no, we're not the media. Okay. We're radical anarchists.
Okay, cool.
Because we're using the internet to get our message across. But the mainstream media, the MSM, those guys, the fat cats,
yep.
them fat cats with their little press badges and such. When the Avengers came out, all the press, you know, all the Q&A question time situations, it was always, to the men, it was always, you know, what do you think of the evolution of your character, and
yep.
blah, blah, blah. And then to Scarlett Johansson, it was always, what kind of diet did you have to get it fit in that cat suit? You know, it was none of, you know,
yeah.
don't ask her about her character.
Well, a lot of the stuff...
Which is the
yeah.
worst.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone.
Because that character has a lot of interesting backstories.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing for Star Wars, though. Whenever people talk about Carrie Fisher in Star Wars, it's like, first of all, she was a cokehead at the
yeah,
time.
Right.
But it's like, she had her breasts taped down for the first one.
Uh-huh.
Because she wasn't wearing a bra. And that's always a big thing that always comes up in every interview with Carrie Fisher.
Why was there no bras in space?
Good question.
Mm.
Sexist. Yeah, space very... sexist.
Yep.
And the other thing is that she had to go to a fat farm.
What?
Well, that's what she called it, for the first Star Wars.
I did not know
and
that.
And then do a similar thing.
Even with the coke.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she probably wasn't that coked up at that point.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Don't.
And yeah, that's true. She was. I'm
probably, okay,
no,
right.
I don't know. And they're the same thing. She had to do the same thing for the metal bikini.
Huh,
and of yeah. course, there's all, you know, but that's pretty much the main talking points for that character.
Mm.
So, you know, sexism.
Sexism.
Yeah.
I'm against it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also, people are saying that Zack Snyder doesn't know how to, you know, how to cast women or whatever, which I actually don't think is true.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen Sucker Punch. Have you seen Sucker Punch?
No, I hear it's the worst.
I've heard it's the worst. But he's also Lena Headey from 300.
Uh-huh.
He cast her.
Yep.
She's a Headey. She's amazing. The woman who played Silk Spectre in Watchmen.
Great.
Amazing.
Yep.
Faora from Superman of Steel.
Oh, yep, sure.
Amazing.
Great.
And Superman's mother from Man of Steel, also amazing, though in it briefly. And I guess Lois Lane, though some people
yeah, totally.
Have take issue with her, but they're all strong female characters. I don't think it's an issue on that point. It's not like Michael Bay, where he's got someone draped over a motorcycle
yeah,
in
yeah,
short
yeah.
shorts, you know?
It's not like Michael Bay, where allegedly he casts women by having them come over to his house and wash his car.
Allegedly.
So, allegedly, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the deal with The Flash, though?
Yes.
So this is a rumoured story
uh-huh.
that basically...
The Flash is getting all over the place.
He is, isn't he? Yeah. Did you see that? Did
no,
you see him
I'm not up to it yet.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it was...
That's getting a little bit more formulaic, that show.
Mm.
I'm slowly catching up, but there's a bit of, you know...
Oh, because you're... What episode are you at now in season one?
Like 16?
I think it gets better in season two.
Okay,
so push through.
I will.
Push through the
pain
barrier.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That is a lot of... That's a lot of sci-fi comic book... kind of media. Just push through it. Some of it is better. Some of it is okay. You will enjoy it. All you have to do, force it down. Yeah. There's been a bit of, you know, we're the same, you and I.
Are they the same, though? Is that why they said it?
No, I think they're... No, they are.
Okay.
I told a friend of mine that I was going to be watching Arrow, and I'm like, I'm way behind. I haven't watched any episodes. And he's like, yeah, it's good, but what generally happens is... He finds a corporate, you know, some sort of corporate criminal. And he
yeah.
says, you mend your evil ways or I'll kill you, right? And then they either do or they don't. And then he kills them or he doesn't kill them.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, he just goes into their, like, headquarters and just kills all his all their employees. Like, all the bodyguards who presumably have families, wives and children and bills to pay and whatever who are just guarding this guy who they think is just, you know, some, you know, corporate fat cat
yeah.
guy. they just get an arrow through the chest and it's fine. Nobody mentions it.
Well, they kind of steer away from that in season two.
Because of all the murders.
Because of all the murders. Like, he drops the list and he changes his code. I won't spoil it for you, but it's not really that big a spoiler, but yeah, that changes. But yeah, as far as the Flash goes, though, so this is the story.
Yep.
The Justice League will represent the UN.
Okay.
So Superman represents the world because he is an immigrant and he is a citizen of the world.
Uh-huh.
Batfleck is the US.
Uh-huh.
American.
Yep.
Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman.
Oh, so this is the Justice League's setup.
Yeah, this is the Justice League setup. So they're not just, we're the Justice League of America. It's like, we're the Justice League of everybody. Yep. Of you and me and that poor kid in France.
Yep.
I don't know his name. But, hey, so Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman is like a Middle East kind of
not
area.
Greek.
No, apparently not.
Huh.
But this is a rumor. So who knows? And the Flash will be possibly a Latino or South American gentleman.
Huh.
Whatevers. Mm. Okay, next big news.
Hey, quick check.
Sure.
Are you drunk or hungover today?
Good question.
Yep.
Glad you asked.
I check earlier.
Okay, I did go out. I went to a winery tour yesterday,
uh-huh.
and I didn't drink that much. Because
huh.
I was like, you know what? I don't want to be an incredible... I'm not really a wine guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
I had a few beers. I kind of nursed a wine the whole time. Everything fell apart by the end. People were jumping all over each other. Have you ever done a winery tour? It starts off all civil.
Yep.
People are like, oh, this is delightful. And then it's just at the end, just people crashing into each other and throwing things. Yep. It's madness. And I bailed. Because I love comic book movies.
Absolutely, you do.
Okay. I love how you didn't know, though. You were like, he could be. He still looks
it's
terrible.
It's tough to say. You do. You're rotten, mate. No, you're fine.
So, big X-Men news as well.
I'm ready.
Bryan Singer announced, and this happened the same time as the Wonder Woman and Spider-Man trailer, that we're getting X-Men Apocalypse
in
2016.
Ooh.
Big X-Men movie.
Yeah. Big X-Men villain.
That's right. And that's all we know about it. That is just the name and the release date.
Yep.
Now, I don't know that much about Apocalypse because I'm only a casual X-Men fan. But my understanding is you know more than anybody in the world about Apocalypse.
Boy, do I. I can say heaps of words about him. Not necessarily accurate.
So where do you think this movie will go?
Direction? I think there's going to have to be his origin story. So there's going to be... Because he's the first mutant.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's 5,000 years old or what have you.
Yeah.
Born in Egypt. And he's one of those characters who's got a... He's very Marvel in that there's a lot of... He's interacted with a lot of characters. Mm. And his powers are sort of... a combination of a lot of things.
Because I read that he can do pretty much anything.
He can do anything. He can... Did you never play Marvel vs. Capcom?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the villain in that.
Okay.
The giant one.
I never
drill
beat
hand.
Those games.
He's got a drill hand.
At the end of those games...
He's got a big drill hand, mate.
They're madness, those games. Yeah. It's just flashing... Is that the way the villain is just half the screen at the end?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Never got there.
Okay, well, so basically, he's a combination of a lot of things.
Drill hand.
Yeah, he's got a drill hand, but... He can change size and shape.
Yeah.
He can, you know, project energy or teleport or you know, pretty much. He can read minds. Yeah, he can read. He's got lasers, turn invisible. He's got like complete molecular control, so he can turn into anything. And he's also got technology from the Celestials, who are sort of like this alien, super advanced alien race.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Why are they giving him stuff?
I think he stole it.
Okay.
It's a little bit vague, I think. Yeah. But yeah. So he's got... As a character, he's so Marvel, they're going to have to cut some of that out.
I think
I think the alien tech is going to have to go away because they're... Has there been any aliens in the X-Men universe, the cinematic universe yet?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, no. then that's going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Egyptian backstory.
Yeah.
Pretending to be a god throughout the centuries. He's gone into hibernation, now he's back.
Yeah. Well, isn't he waking up... from hibernation, from Cable coming back in time? Is that
probably
one of the versions?
Oh, that's right. Because they've introduced time travel into the...
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's...
Mind's time travel.
Oh, yeah, it's not actually... Okay.
But, you know, they could change. They, you know, who knows how that movie's going to turn out.
I reckon they're going to skip that. I reckon Cable's too odd for...
Yeah.
For the movies. I reckon...
No, go on.
I reckon it's just going to be Apocalypse in hibernation. Nobody remembers he exists, and now he's back in the modern era. And they're going to have to fight him. I think that's going to be it.
Well, it was... they're merging, though, the Fantastic Four and X-Men characters. Because they're owned by Fox. So they're expanding it.
Uh-huh.
So they might be seeing more of that kind of stuff. They're making it... They're trying to make it more Marvel.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
I think there would be no... There's no... Ugh. There's going to be two competing Marvel universes. the Marvel Studios universe, which is great, more or less.
Yeah.
With a couple of misses, but it's a great, fun universe.
Yeah.
And then there's just going to be Marvel Universe for Dummies, which is the Sony one. Ugh.
Fox.
Yeah, Fox, whatever.
But I feel like this is like another thing where they're going to get in Apocalypse before the Avengers get in Thanos properly.
Right.
And before Justice League get in Darkseid.
Uh-huh.
So will it be like... So will he show up in the event in you know, the Avengers 3 or whatever, Thanos, and they'll be like, we've seen this guy, he was in bloody, you know, whatever. Because they're pretty similar-ish, big, hulking, grey-ish kind of guy.
That's a good point, actually. Oh, you're saying 2016 is the year of the big hulking, grey-ish guy? I can't wait.
I'm calling it now.
I'm going to get all the Slurpee cups.
Yeah.
All the commemorative Slurpee cups.
That's it. Because you know how they're both using Quicksilver and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not obviously the same character, but... And we know that, but the general public, I'd say, wouldn't be able to perceive that.
Mm.
Also, this movie could literally be set in any point in time.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's always banging around time and space, isn't he?
Yes.
So you could wouldn't necessarily have to be Wolverine-centric.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Hugh Jackman said this week, he's like, I don't know if I'm going to do another Wolverine. He's like, I'm kind of... He's doing Wolverine 3 and Days of Future Past, and he's like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
How old is he now?
He's 45.
I guess so. It's a little...
Seconds.
Yeah. Well...
Yeah, can't do it forever, can you?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That's interesting. But you know what? They really need to, you know, kind of step up more X-Men characters because he will leave eventually and you need somebody else. So I feel like now if Robert Downey Jr. left the Marvel Universe, it would take a hit, but it would bounce back because it's got other massive properties. Thor just crossed 600 million, Thor the Dark Lord, 600 million worldwide.
Huh.
So they'll still do all right, but I don't know. Then again, First Class is amazing, and Wolverine's not really in it. We're going to play a second.
But could any of those characters carry a solo movie, do you think?
I think Magneto could, young Magneto.
I guess so.
Yeah, but other than that, probably not. Maybe Iceman? Maybe Toad? Maybe Iceman. Juggernaut?
No, none of those. You're a liar.
There's that red hot, well, white hot anger you were talking about.
There it is.
Right there. All right. Now we're getting into the main crux of this episode.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Can I mention, and I think this might lead into it.
Sure.
Spider-Man musical news. that's closing up on Broadway.
It is.
And hang on.
It didn't come here, did it?
No, it didn't.
I would have definitely seen it.
I would have seen it. I think because it's too elaborate.
Yeah.
This news report says Bono optimistic about future of Spider-Man musical. So maybe it's going to Vegas. I think that might be the... It's not. I really wish I'd have seen this.
By all accounts,
listeners, if you haven't seen it, by all accounts,
yeah, it's just a nonsensical farce.
Yeah,
it has really nothing to do with.
Cost $75 million.
God, you know how many people injured themselves in heaps before getting it?
So many, yeah. And yeah, $75 million, and just yeah, it's also something that annoys me that in order to make it work, apparently it didn't work, but in order for it to work on any level, the creators had to add in additional characters that don't exist in the Spider-Man universe.
Oh yeah, there's a female villain.
There's Arachne, who was originally the main villain, but then I think, and then they had to rework the entire thing, and now she's like some sort of flashback character. And there was like a geek chorus, like a Greek chorus, that would explain things that were happening because they were so unclear. And there was a villain. They had the Sinister Six, but instead of, like, they took out one of the six, I think it might have been Kraven the Hunter, and replaced it with a new character called Swiss Miss. What is that? Why? Is there not? Surely there's another. Even if they wanted gender balance or something like that, they could have replaced Kraven or Electro or somebody with any other female. Spider-Man's got enough villains.
He's got a lot of villains.
If you can't build a Spider-Man musical with the existing characters he has, with hundreds of existing characters, you've messed up somewhere.
I don't think there's a man in musical theatre who would be willing to go shirtless.
Yeah.
That's what I think
That's a really good point, actually.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah,
Swiss
Miss.
Yeah, although, so that's going to move to Vegas. I would hope, though, there was an option here that maybe it'll be replaced by the Australian musical King Kong, the musical, which I just saw.
Is that an Australian musical?
Yes.
I did not know that.
It's at the Regent Theatre.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
Americans, if it gets there, if it gets to America, see it. Australian listeners, get a cheap ticket, go and see it.
Are you sure it's an Australian musical?
Yes.
Huh.
You saw it as well?
I saw it, yeah.
Huh. Let's discuss it.
Okay, just quickly.
I thought it was great, but not for any of the reasons that the producers thought it was great.
Well, terrible songs, I thought.
Awful.
Forgettable songs. The story is nonsensical.
Totally.
There's a song that goes for about 5 minutes. The main character guy sings about his father building a bridge.
And then it just peters out.
Yeah.
And people were just confused.
I'm like,
there was a lot of smatterings of confused applause.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, it's an amazing spectacle.
Oh, it is.
Like, when it gets to the second act, I went, of course, they just want this to be Moulin Rouge with a giant ape. There's a dubstep sequence. There's two dubstep sequences in it. How did they do that? It's set in the 30s.
Yeah, incredible.
Incredible, weird staging.
I remember I turned to the person I saw it with, and I said, if this musical opens with somebody talking about singing about New York, the songs are all going to be garbage. And the first line is something like, New York, greatest city in the world. I'm like, this is going to be shit.
Oh boy, and how.
But yeah.
But it's just, they just packed it in with the most ridiculous stuff they could. There's even a bit, my favourite part, is there's a bit where the ape does a leap, and he's in slow motion, and he leaps, and he hits the ground with a 3-point superhero, like 2 feet, and like a giant fist on the ground, and then all the performers around him are wired, and they just fly out, there's a shockwave, and they fly up in the air in slow motion. It was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, fingers crossed, that goes to Broadway, and we get Spider-Man musical, because the
region
has been rigged out for just weird special effects and weird staging, so
God,
fingers crossed.
I really hope so.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Listen to see it.
See it, for reals.
Don't pay a lot of money
for
the ticket.
If anything,
sneak
in.
And maybe take your favourite recreational drug before you go in. Just, there's an option for you.
Well, I had a friend who's had to see it twice.
What?
And he said the second time.
Did they put one of those exploding collars on?
Pretty much.
He went, threaten them?
He went with his girlfriend, and then people at work bought tickets, and he didn't have the guts to tell them, oh no, maybe I don't want to go, because I've already seen it. So he just went along. I was going to use a bad word, but I'm not going to.
No, don't do that.
And he goes, it was a painful watch second time around.
Oh, really?
Because you've seen the ape.
We've spent
way too much time on this.
No, more time. No, that's all right. Continue with you.
Okay. Anyway,
Spider-Man.
We are going to talk about the history of the Spider-Man films leading up to the Raimi films. But before that, we got to talk about the trailer.
Okay.
What did you think of it?
I don't like Mechanical Rhino.
Ooh.
I wish he was regular Rhino.
Yeah. But I think because they did the lizard last time, they were like, we've done a kind of half animal man.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Then again, that would lead perfectly into the Rhino. Because
they've already got the technology.
Yeah, they've got the technology, yeah. Mm. Oh, no, I think, are you sick of mechanical suits in movies?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the ultimate Spider-Man version, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting choice. But,
another interesting choice, that guy as Harry Osborn.
Oh, Dane DeHaan?
Once you've had James Franco as anything. Anything else? He's a bit snivelling, this guy.
Well, I guess, you know, that's all right, though, isn't it? Can't he be a snivelling dude? I didn't love James Franco as whatever, Harry Osborn.
How dare you?
Because he's not, I don't know, I love James Franco, but I was like,
You were conflicted.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I don't know, I'm looking forward to it. And that's another thing, there are three villains that we know of in this movie. Rhino, which is apparently in it for the first only 20 minutes or so.
Okay, good.
Allegedly, apparently.
Uh-huh.
The Electro, who looks incredible.
Yep.
Do you agree with that?
Okay, yeah, he does.
And,
kind of wish he had lightning bolt face, but whatever. It's fine, we've discussed it before. It's fine. It's that my dreams aren't going to come true.
And the some form of the Goblin. Could be Green Goblin, could be Hobgoblin, could be New Goblin. I don't know.
New Goblin.
And
they really stopped trying at Spider-Man 3, didn't they? It even just said on like all the action figure packages of New Goblin.
Whatever.
Yeah. Ski, snowboard man. Flying snowboard man.
I was going to say. Yeah, well, he's never actually called New Goblin in the movie. So I'm sure that was like a marketing thing where they were just like, we'll just call it New Goblin. That's fine.
Great.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Yeah. But I don't know. What do you think about all those villains in it?
Again, I'm sick of villain overload.
Yeah.
But again, if they're gonna restage it so we see the Rhino at the start, because that's just Spider-Man's day-to-day at this point.
Yep.
I'm okay with it.
Cool. All right. Well, there was also hints towards Doc Ock, Vulture.
Oh, because in the lab, there's the...
Which is cool. I don't think they'll be in it.
No.
But I thought that was cool. As well as Venom and Morbius. Their names are mentioned when Harry Osborn's like, Peter Parker! The Oscorp has been watching you, and he uses his hologram table and I didn't find this. Somebody on the internet found it. It's got a few names of things. It's got like, what's the insane asylum called in Spider-Man world? I can't remember.
No,
it's like their Arkham.
Yeah, I
can't remember what it's called. But there's that, and there's something about Morbius, and there's something about Venom.
Huh.
So perhaps saying that all these villains might lead into the Sinister Six in the next movie. People are saying that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'd love to see in the next movie?
What's that?
Sinister Six.
Yep.
They all show up and they kick the crap out of Peter Parker. Uh-huh. And he's like, why? Why?
Uh-huh.
And then he gets the black suit and he goes back and he just tears through them.
Huh.
That would be cool.
That would be pretty good.
Mm. I'd like to see the black suit done properly.
Oh, I'm tired of reboots. Do something new. Film industry, come on.
What about some kind of blue suit?
I would have said, ooh. Ooh.
Or a mechanical suit.
Yeah, but he had a... He's been armoured.
He's been armoured, yeah.
Silver, the... Oh, ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know. That list of names. Mm. Morbius, good.
Yep.
Venom, eh.
Not so good,
I want more obscure names.
Yeah.
But quite frankly.
I'd like to see Carnage, but you can't go Carnage without Venom.
Mm.
And just like a complete psychopath.
Right.
Because you know Spider-Man, you can kind of, you know, a lot of his villains, they're kind of, you can reason with them and they're smart people and whatever. And if you really sat them down for long enough, you could probably explain them out of doing whatever they're...
Like a long brunch.
Yeah, like a long brunch.
Yeah, that's right. Like a couple of mimosas and a long brunch. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But Carnage, not so much.
Nah. Anyway, there's that all out. So do you think it's going to be good?
I never said that.
Do you think it's going to be good?
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah, I still haven't seen the first one.
Okay, fair point. Well, look, I like the fact that they've dropped the grim tone from the first one, which you have not seen.
No,
but so it's a lot more colourful, which I like.
Yep.
So more comic bookish, I guess, because Spider-Man's not supposed to be. He broods a little bit, but he's not your Bruce Wayne brooding kind of guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Another thing is that in the first one as well, they did a lot of mechanical web swinging. A lot of that was done practical.
Okay,
and they seem to just gone, nah, we're not doing that anymore. And they've just done all CGI.
It was a lot of work, which
is fine, though. I mean, of course you got to do a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there still is CGI web swinging in the first one, but there's a lot of practical stuff.
Does it look good, the practical stuff?
That's fine.
Okay,
then.
Well, if we're all ambivalent, then CGI is the way to go. Because then you can have him, you know, because he's very, you know, he's very flexible.
Yeah.
A stuntman's not going to be able to do
that.
When the, you know, the...
What about the stuntman who's stretched?
Oh, yeah, the stretch. Yeah, like maybe they've broken a few of his bones in preparation. Yeah, definitely. That would work. Because in the 90s, when the Spider-Man was taken over by Todd McFarlane, and he sort of really ramped up how dynamic looking that character is and kind of, you know, throwing his legs and arms and legs in all sorts of weird, you know, beyond human kind of ways.
Spiderish poses. Yeah.
You know, that was really sort of a turning point for that character. And if you can... If that's not going to work on screen. I want to see that on screen.
Yeah,
basically.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think there will be a lot of that.
Otherwise, you get the 1970s Spider-Man TV series.
Leading into.
Oh boy.
So now you've changed your mind. It's going to be the best movie ever.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yep. Good.
We are going to talk about today the history of Spider-Man films.
Okay.
there's a number of unsuccessful projects that try to get off the ground since the mid-70s up until, well, the Raimi films.
Yep.
And it is just nonsense.
Really?
Because I started to read this earlier this week. I'm like, what are we going to do for a podcast? I'm like, wow, there is a lot of stuff here. Uh-huh. A lot of crazy...
Does anyone get murdered?
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Ooh.
It's a lot of irrelevant stuff.
It's like the history of the jetpack.
It's exactly
people
like
that. People keep stealing the jetpack. People get murdered over jetpacks. Guess what, guys? Jetpacks are useless. Burn your legs off. Fly around for 3 minutes. You know what you can do? Get in a plane.
Yep.
Fly around for hours. You idiots.
Would you not buy a jetpack?
You know what? This episode, I'm going to direct my white hot rage towards people who enjoy jetpacks. I know.
Jeez. So you don't like the Rocketeer?
That was great, though.
Yeah. That's the exception.
It's pretty great, yeah. Exception that proves the rule.
Okay. The first one was in 1975. This was
a dark age.
It sure was. Mm. My God. I'm so glad I didn't, like, these weren't my big years in that era. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I just don't know what would have become of me. I just don't know.
But that's looking back. That's looking back, though. You wouldn't have missed Facebook and Twitter.
You're right,
because
yeah.
You wouldn't have known they existed.
Because I'm too busy recording cassette tapes.
Correct.
Which I guess I still did.
Didn't even happen in the 70s.
Yeah, that's
Eight
true.
Tracks, man.
Eight tracks, man. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so Steve Krantz, one of the producers of the 1960s Spider-Man cartoon, tried to launch a live-action Spider-Man movie in the mid-70s. And here's the interesting part. Even though that's really interesting.
That's very interesting, the thing that you said. You said a name. You said a number of dates.
Originally, he wanted to make it a splashy action fantasy musical.
Yeah!
Do you think we'll ever get a terrible, flashy Spider-Man musical?
No. No, it's too...
It's a dream.
Yeah. It's a beautiful dream. We can only imagine the wonders that would have come out of that.
But eventually he realised basically that the more straightforward approach was the one to take.
Uh-huh.
So in 1976...
You ever seen Cop Rock?
I've heard of Cop Rock.
We should watch Cop Rock. And,
do you want to explain Cop Rock just quickly?
Well, it's a police procedural.
Yep.
But it's also a musical.
And it's like 22 episodes a season, so it's a different songs every... Is that right?
I don't know how many episodes it made. Yeah. I think mine might have been cancelled after 8 or something.
So it was completely... Everything is sung.
Well, I just don't know. We should find it. I'll get
Cop
it.
Cop Rock.
I'm going to check legitimate sources right now while you speak.
Yes, you are.
And I'm going to let you know if we can get it.
So in 1976, he was pitching another Spider-Man story that involved a college-aged Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
That's more in line, I think.
Yep.
Includes the death of Gwen Stacy.
Okay.
He fights a 100-foot-tall robot.
I'm on board.
Plus Nazis.
Do the Nazis control the giant robot? You'd think they would.
I think they're separate things, because I've got them on two different lines here.
Okay. But the giant robots are the Nazis' thing.
That's true.
I mean, other things, certainly.
Yeah.
Not fun things.
Just being pricks.
Yeah, just being pricks. Obviously, great uniforms. That's two. And three, giant robots. Yeah. Usually with a brain inside, maybe Hitler's brain inside. Yeah. Let's assume they're combined.
I'll put them on the same line.
Okay, please do. Yep.
Now, that one obviously never got off the ground. But in 1977, Columbia Pictures, who actually own the rights to Spider-Man now, this is the part that you particularly wanted to talk about, is that right? The disco-era Spider-Man TV series about a grown-up Peter Parker who gets spider-based powers. You loved that show when you were a kid, didn't you?
You know what?
Slash movie.
I remember renting the VHS a lot.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
But those were the...
I remember there's a daring rescue right at the start where he very awkwardly and very slowly climbs up a building.
Like a spider.
Like a spider, very incredibly slowly to rescue somebody who's about to jump off a ledge.
Well, the first...
Do you like fast pacing?
Do I ever?
You won't find it in this.
Well, that was in the day though where it was like, you get the Superman movie, that's it.
Yep.
And everything else is garbage or never comes into fruition.
That's true.
This one being the garbage side of things.
Uh-huh.
So basically, the one that you saw, it sounds like, was about a new age guru who mind controlled people to become criminals, and then he threatens to make 10 New Yorkers commit suicide unless he gets $10 million.
That's the one.
Yeah. Mm. So Spider-Man invents web shooter, swings into action against the guru and his army of samurai?
I don't remember that part.
Huh. There were two other movies together from this series.
Uh-huh.
One called Spider-Man Strikes Back, where...
Atomic Bomb.
Yes!
I remember that one.
Yeah. So basically, Peter Parker's students accidentally gain the materials to create an atomic bomb.
Accidentally.
How do you accidentally...
Don't know.
Yeah.
You crack open, like...
And were they going to use it? They're going to be like, this would be funny. What a prank.
Yeah. We're going to prank the dude with this. He's never going to expect it.
And the other one was called...
What was Fallout?
The other one was called Spider-Man The Dragon's Challenge.
Don't remember that one.
Which is basically Spider-Man goes to Hong Kong to chat to save a Chinese politician accused of corruption, resulting in a boat chase.
Hijinks.
Yeah. So...
I don't know. Maybe...
Well, that was like, there were more than those episodes, but those are the ones that were edited together as telemovies and were in some places screened in cinemas.
Let's get some of these. Next week, I'm going to report back on these.
Really?
Yes.
God.
Not all of them, obviously. Sure, you know what? I'm just going to sort of scrub through and watch 5 minutes at a time.
From what I've seen, his webbing is just rope.
It's pretty much
like
just rope.
Like white
yeah.
kind of stringy yeah, yeah. rope yeah. frayed
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And his spider sense was very vaguely defined. Like yeah. you just see sort of blue and red. Like flashes of just things.
If that was his actual spider sense, that would be really distracting. So if someone's about to punch you and then you get a blue and red flash, yep. that person would definitely hit
they
you.
They would definitely hit you, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Straight through that. I was going to say Hong Kong, interesting choice.
Yeah.
Batman's gone there since.
Sure.
I guess, does Asia love Spider-Man? There's a Spider-Man TV, there's an Asian Spider-Man TV series.
Yeah.
Where he pilots a giant robot.
Nazi robot?
No, it's a regular robot. It's an amazing Japanese robot. It's an alien robot. An alien comes down
yeah.
and gives him alien...
Is this one of these things where they didn't actually have the rights and they just did it?
No, it's a real thing, I think.
God.
And it's an alien comes down. It's an alien with spider powers.
Yep, makes sense.
Who I think needs a champion to save the world or whatever, and so he gives a guy...
Why does he care?
He gives, he's like a Japanese... I don't know. It's like a Japanese motocross daredevil or something. And he gives him the spider powers, and then he becomes Spider-Man. But there's very little. I've watched some clips. There's very little actual Spider-Maning. There's because he's got the giant robot, obviously.
Yep. And the motorbike.
And the motorbike, but he's also got like a Spider-Man car, just drives around in it. It's pretty cool. But yeah, no, it's one of those ones that follows the classic format of there's like a villain, and he goes to punch on with a villain.
Yeah.
And then the villain grows to gigantic size before he can defeat him. And he's like, well, but he is the giant robot then.
Just like Power Rangers.
Just like Power Rangers.
And every definitely. Other Japanese thing ever.
Yep. Exactly.
So, yeah. After that.
Sushi. Yeah. You're just about to eat it. Grows to gigantic size. You need a robot.
So in 1982, Roger Corman. You know Roger Corman.
Oh, yeah, the B-movie.
The
B-movie. King of B-movies.
That's
sure.
it. He was going to produce his own version. Now he
licensed or unlicensed?
Licensed,
huh.
In a big way.
Yep.
He made, the legendary original Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, the one that? Yep, okay.
Yeah.
It was never released.
And he nearly made this particular Spider-Man movie. Have you seen that Fantastic Four movie?
No.
Seen clips. Looks just the worst.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Now basically, the Corman movie was based on a treatment by Stan Lee himself.
Ooh.
Yeah, which stuck pretty close to the comics. And the story was basically this. Peter Parker is a college student again, facing Dr. Octopus. And he would have had a few love interests, including Mary Jane Watson and a sexy KGB agent.
Ooh.
Who I assume is Black Widow. There was Black Widow around then?
Yeah, she would have been. Yeah.
But apparently Lee's screenplay was too ambitious, including a huge sequence where Spider-Man fights atop the UN building with lots of swinging, sticking to walls, leaping, jumping, and falling, all while dodging Doc Ock's arms. Did you think I was going to say arms then?
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, that's good. that's great. And there was probably also a really long involved sequence where Spider-Man is mentored by Stan Lee.
Well, buddy, you should say that.
There we go.
But I'm going to get to that later. Meanwhile, Spider-Man also fights time to prevent nuclear war with Russia.
They were all about that back
what
in the
day. What is this?
Yeah, in the 80s, they were all about that.
Was everybody just terrified of nuclear war?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I know. But like, because I remember asking my dad, you know, I was like, when you were, you know, my age or whatever.
Yeah.
Were you like terrified of nuclear war? And he's like, yeah, you know, what could you do? You couldn't stop it.
Keep calm and carry on.
Yeah, that's
yep.
it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. But, no, the Corman, to Corman's dismay, the production company let the rights expire. He never made it.
Aww.
You okay?
I would have liked to see that.
Yeah. I would like to see all of these, except for the ones that were actually made.
Yes. We'll never be happy.
No.
Yeah.
So, in 1985, the Cannon Group purchased them the rights.
Producers of Thunderkick.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah they did a lot of... I was going to say crap, but that sounds amazing.
That's the greatest karate kung fu blockbuster of all time. Thunderkick.
Was one of his legs made of thunder?
No, but he had, I don't know, he was very powerful kicks.
He could do at least run one really good kick.
Just one really good kick probably at the end, yeah.
So they bought the rights for $225,000 plus profit sharing, and apparently, and this doesn't sound right, but I checked in a couple of sources, put out a 50-page pull-out ad touting Spider-Man among its upcoming productions.
50 pages.
That can't be right. That must have been page 50
yeah,
ad.
I think so, yeah.
That's insane.
And also page 50 ad, that's not a very good.
No.
Yeah.
That's just the middle of the newspaper.
That is riddled with errors there. Whatever that statement is. 50, that's impossible. What do you put in 50 pages? You know what it is? It's just a 50-page issue of Spider-Man. Roger Corman wrote his name on the front, and then they just, in crayon, and they just sent it to the movie execs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. So the Israeli cousins, who were producing this movie, uh-huh. called Golden and Globus, those are their last names,
uh-huh.
they were known for their schlocky films, and they were trying to go legit uh-huh. through canon,
yep.
right? So basically, Golden, one of the guys, he produced the Death Wish sequel, some of them.
Sure.
Masters of the Universe,
yeah.
which is amazing, and Superman 4.
The worst one.
I would argue that 3 is the worst.
4 is very clearly the budget has dropped out.
Oh, big time.
And
yeah.
it's just, as much as I dislike them, the first couple, you know, quite majestic.
Yeah.
4th one, just kind of walking down the street, being Superman.
Being Superman.
Yeah.
I do like Evil Superman in Superman 3, though.
Yeah.
Where he fights himself. What an achievement. What a cinematic achievement. Now, despite being hugely enthusiastic about the Spider-Man character, Golden was very unclear about the concept. He wanted to change Spider-Man's origin to be caused by an evil scientist named Dr. Zork, who creates mutants.
Great.
You're following?
Yeah, I'm following so far. Yeah, obviously. He's going to create mutants if he's an evil scientist.
That's
yes.
right. Peter Parker would be a lowly employee of Dr. Zork, who accidentally gets turned into Spider-Man and then has to fight Dr. Zork's army of mutants. In another screenplay that was considered, Spider-Man gets turned into a 8-legged tarantula, a giant one.
For how long?
It says here 18 years. Huh. I don't know. That sounds more like a horror movie.
It does, doesn't it? And that's
like The Fly or something.
Yeah, yeah. But back in the day, I guess, you know, your superhero origin stories were not, like, nobody was precious about it.
No.
Maybe they were, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll never know.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sure people, you know, producers were just like, oh, who cares?
Yeah, hang on, done.
It's so. Just kind of, you know, it's just kind of comic book schlock, who cares
yeah.
kind of thing. Whereas now it's very important.
It is. You got to get it right.
Dr. Zork. Like, why would you, where is the thought process where you think kid getting bitten by a radioactive spider is worse than guy working for Dr. Zork who creates evil mutants? Like,
even the name.
Yeah.
It's the name, isn't it?
It's the name.
It could have been Dr. Smith and you'd have been like, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Zork. Have you ever met anyone called
Zork? I've never met anyone named Zork, no.
God. Mm. I don't know. Anyway, in this version, apparently, stuntman Scott Lever, who I don't know, was considered to play Peter Parker. And there's actually shots of him, test shots,
uh-huh.
where he's sort of in a Spider-Man-ish suit. And there's one where he's in half civilian clothes, half Spider-Man clothes.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what the deal is there.
What, you mean split down the
split
middle?
Split exactly down the middle.
That's weird.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That is a weird low-budget transforming effect shot or whatever. They'll use a sequence of mirrors or something like that and just cut from one to the other and it looks like he's changed yeah. clothes instantly or whatever. But
he doesn't need to change his clothes instantly. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
He's not Superman.
It's the 80s, man.
Yeah, it is. Sure is. I wish it was the 80s now.
No, you don't.
No, you're right. Mm. Okay, they also dreamed of casting Tom Cruise in the role, according to the LA Times.
That would work.
Yeah, but as if he would have done
it. No, he wouldn't have done it, absolutely. He wouldn't work with the canon group.
Mm. No, God, no. So basically, the Dr. Zork version was scrapped
uh-huh.
in favour of a version where Doc Ock was played by Bob Hoskins.
Yay, of course he was.
And that version, apparently, where he'd wear like a plasticky, rubbery kind of torso piece and where the arms were all fused horribly to his skin and whatever. Uh-huh. So that was going to be that version. So they weren't just like kind of drilled in neatly. They were like melted to him.
Great.
Yeah. Mm. And also, this version actually includes this part, which carried over
into... Bob Hoskins was a thing?
Well, Bob Hoskins has Alzheimer's and has retired from acting.
Way to bring that up. Way to make me look like a jerk.
Yeah, well, they were going to do the Roger Rabbit sequel. They were talking about it for years, and then that happened, so it kind of went by the wayside.
Huh.
Yeah.
We could get Ron Jeremy, porn star Ron Jeremy.
That's true, yeah. They're similar enough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This version, though, includes a bit where Peter Parker discards his glasses because they hinder his eyesight. You know that happens in the first Spider-Man?
Correct,
he wakes up and he has to take them off.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that one thing carried over.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That is pretty
amazing. They got one thing right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then.
Oh, this is interesting as well. Another version included... They had a lot of versions, by the way. Uh-huh. This just with this company. Included Spider-Man going up against a bat-like scientist turned vampire, who I assume is Morbius?
Sounds like Morbius.
Though he wasn't named. And another where Dolph Lundgren is Doc Ock.
Doesn't work at all.
Does it work really well, though?
No.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a... The 80s Doc Ock's short, fat guy. Dolph Lundgren.
He's enormous.
He's a monster.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He
might be a good Venom.
Yeah, that's 80s, true.
Yeah.
80s Venom.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
He'd be a good the 80s Punisher. Or a He-Man.
Yeah. Good both of those things.
You're not going to believe this, but Stan Lee, who loves everything, rejected all these scripts.
Wow.
But at the same time, pushed for himself to play Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. That's what I've been waiting for.
I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be happy with that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Do you think at this point, do you think he asks to be in cameos, or do you think they just put him in? It's assumed that he's going to be in it. Are you against him being in it? Does it take you out of the film? Does it take you into the film? Films.
You know, it's a good yardstick, because I can go, there we go. Stanley's still alive. Great. Good. Does he add anything?
Not really, I don't think. I think it's nice to say. I'm never like... What a dickhead.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
But if they stop doing it, it's fine. Mm. You know, I mean, he's done so many great things for comics. He was writing comics when everyone thought comics for dickheads.
Yep.
And only slightly less people think that now.
Yeah. So he's carved a real path for nerds everywhere.
That's right.
Good for him.
Yeah. Okay, so, Albert Pyun, P-Y-U-N, Pyun? P-Y-U-N. Doesn't matter.
No.
Probably dead. Albert
P.
was chosen to direct. And if you didn't know this, he was he directed the 1990 Captain America film.
Oh, good.
And the movie...
It was a very small pool of people to draw from.
I'll tell you what.
I guess it was people who were up on charges for various things. And they could, you know, they couldn't get any legit work.
So you just make it just a terrible superhero film.
Yeah, yeah.
The movie was to be shot... to save money on the same sets that were going to be used for Masters of the Universe 2. Is there much set crossover between a weird, barren, desert future world
and modern day New York City? There is zero. I guess they could do it in the convenience store. Don't they fight in a convenience store in Masters of the Universe at one point?
Oh, there is a bit, yeah.
They could set it entirely in a convenience store.
Yep.
Yep.
Like phone booth, but in a convenience
store. Correct, yes. And they could change the origin so Peter Parker works in a convenience store and...
Dr. Zork is his manager.
Dr. Zork is his manager and the Slurpee contains some sort of mutagen with a spider in it.
Yep.
Yep.
I would say just a regular spider goes into a Slurpee, gets electrocuted.
Great.
What do you think?
I think that totally works.
So yeah, all this fell through, obviously.
Yep.
But the sets were used that they actually did build for Pyun's film Cyborg.
Oh, with Van Damme.
Yeah. Is that Cyborg?
Yeah.
Isn't that Universal Soldier?
No, he did Cyborg as well.
Oh my god.
He did Cyborg, and then Angelina Jolie did Cyborg 2 or 3, possibly.
Really?
Yep.
Was she the Cyborg?
She was the Cyborg.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I learned something today.
Yep. Well. I didn't think Albert P. was going to do anything with his life, but he directed Cyborg. There you go.
So this all fell through. Uh-huh. Early 90s, James Cameron was brought on board.
Hollywood's James Cameron.
Hollywood's James Cameron. Mm-hmm. He was big at the time. Uh-huh. Terminator.
What happened to that kid? He had a lot of potential, and then he just dropped off the radar.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. He was coming off the back of Aliens, Terminator 2, which I think was coming out around that time.
Yep.
So he was a big name, obviously. His version involved...
They dragged him away from building his submarine.
Kicking and screaming.
Kicking and screaming, yep.
Yeah, his version was going to include Sandman... Sandman? Did I say that right?
Yes.
The word sand
and man? The word sand and man. You put them together. Now put them together.
Sandman.
Oh, just
Sandy Man.
Just move on. Just move on. Just move on.
And Electro as villains.
Uh-huh.
So basically, this film, it was somewhat adult in nature.
Oh.
Because it had an aggressive kind of rebellious Peter Parker.
Oh. He gets into erotic adventures.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Ooh.
Heavy on profanity, uh-huh. with somewhat sexualized scenes. Like where Peter Parker uses his spider powers to spy on Mary Jane Watson getting changed. There's actually storyboards of this, where it's drawn, obviously,
yep.
like a storyboard.
Uh-huh.
She's in a bra.
Yep.
And
I'm listening.
Hair upside down.
Go on.
He's upside down looking through the window, like, ooh, with that look on his face.
Okay.
So, yeah. Basically,
But he'd turn away before.
Well, not in this version, because he's a real kind of creepy kind of...
Oh, he's a creepy guy, okay.
90s kind of grungy kind of dude, I guess.
Oh, I see, right.
So, I'm going to read you a bit from James Cameron's scriptment.
I'm ready.
Which he was paid a lot of money to write.
Probably would have paid for a couple of those torpedo tubes on his submarine, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is the following scene. This is an actual scene. I'll read it verbatim.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay? I want you to imagine this.
Okay, I'm imagining in my mind's eye. I can do it. I've imagined things before.
The next day, and this is assumably after he was bitten by a radioactive Slurpee.
Yep.
With a spider in it.
Yep.
Tight on Peter Parker as he wakes up.
Sounds erotic already.
Yeah.
Should I just... I'll leave you to it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He opens his eyes cautiously, not knowing what to expect. Pull back to reveal he is still in bed. All is normal.
What a lazy bugger. Continue.
He breathes a sigh of relief. In fact, he feels pretty good. Lots of energy. He pulls back the covers and something is causing the sheet to stick to him. He lifts it, revealing a white sticky mass completely covering him, gluing himself to his bed. And in the picture of this,
yep.
It's all his lower half.
Huh. That's a bit rude. I don't know why specifically. I don't understand what that is, but...
There's something going on there.
It feels a bit rude.
It does, doesn't it? So this Peter Parker, right?
Yep.
Another bit. This is the description of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's age 17.
Yep.
This is a scene description as well. Peter's in the bathroom, popping zits in the mirror.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see that in the movie.
Neither do I know exactly.
It's not cool.
It seems unpleasant.
Yeah. He puts on his glasses and checks himself in the mirror. Still the same. Nerdy. He doesn't care. Screw him. He thinks that they're the real losers. They'll be flipping burgers while he's discovering the cure to cancer. We'll see who wins in the long run. He wears his isolation like a badge. With an air of superiority. That sounds like Peter Parker, doesn't it?
No,
it
sounds awful.
Just a real prick.
Just a real mean prick, yeah.
Cameron painted Peter Parker in darker hues than the previous writers.
Yeah.
So he's morally ambiguous.
The 90s.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Morally ambiguous, profane, sadistically violent. And he gives Peter Parker Mary Jane Watson as a love interest, but she's like snobbish and upper crust. And she's got a drunk father, which actually carried over into the other one. So yeah. There's another infamous scene, the last one I'm going to read.
Okay, I'm ready.
This one has dialogue.
Good.
So this is probably my first shot at acting.
Is it two characters?
Yes, but the other one has only one line. Do
okay.
you want to do it?
Yeah, I want to do the line.
Okay, it's Mary Jane.
Okay, all right.
You cool with that?
Yes.
This is going to get super awkward, just so you know.
No, I'm okay with that. Okay.
Okay, Spider-Man. If anyone in Hollywood is listening as well.
Yeah, are you ready? Yeah, you ready for this?
This is my
moment. When Garfield bows out. Finally, when his Britishness catches up with him,
yes,
and
right.
his teeth just warp out of all proportion, and he just gets so pale and pallid that the lights just, they can't pick him up anymore, he turns invisible. We call that Cumberbatch syndrome.
Spider-Man says, this is all set on top of a bridge, by the way, just so we're clear.
Uh-huh.
Courtship among the spiders is highly ritualized. It varies from species to species. The male spider may circle the female or wave his front legs to signal that he is not prey. He's saying that out loud.
Yep, great.
Spider-Man moves in a hypnotic arc around her.
Ooh.
He raises his hands in dance-like movements, then lowers them.
Ooh.
What do you think so far?
It's a powerfully erotic adventure.
It sure is. Spider-Man then says, the female usually signals her willingness by being uncharacteristically passive. Mary Jane takes a deep breath, her lips tremble, her knees are weak, her eyes gazing at the silhouette before her. She doesn't move or speak, he moves closer.
She sounds like she's been poisoned.
Spider-Man continues. In certain crab spiders, such as the Ziziscus, the male will attach strands of silk to the female, tying her limbs. And then he does do that, right? Since the female can break free at any time, the bonds have only symbolic significance. And then this is your part, right there, where it says Mary Jane.
The male must be very bold to take such liberties with the predatory female.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Yes, he is very bold, but he must also trust her. He moves in close. He removes his mask and kisses her. Their mouths move very slowly with sensuous, and they sensuously devour each other. Peter and MJ are locked together. He is mesmerizing, gentle, and powerful. He pushes up her skirt. They make love high above the world. She doesn't look.
Jesus.
So that's...
It's immensely disturbing.
Yeah. That's weird, right?
That's the weirdest thing James Cameron's ever done, surely.
Do you think they were just like, here's $3 million, just bang something out, and he's like, yep, yeah, done.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on there. But yeah, wouldn't that have been an amazing movie, in a way?
Yeah, but, we'd feel bad after it, wouldn't we?
We sure would. I feel bad now.
There would have been a couple of years where no superhero movies came out after that.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, good thing though, Stan Lee... Yes. Absolutely adored it.
Huh.
And he gave Cameron directed Spider-Man movie his hearty endorsement. It was the Spider-Man we all know and love, Lee said, yet it somehow felt fresh and different and new.
Great.
So Lee's on board.
Yep.
Yeah, he actually wanted to play Peter Parker. No, okay. Also, Cameron came up with the organic web shooters. What do you think of that? Yeah, which they don't use anymore.
No, that's true, they don't. Yeah. That's fine. Surely he was on people have toyed with that idea before that, surely, before the 90s.
Wouldn't they brought it into the comics after they used it in the movies, is that right?
Yes.
Or did it happen before that?
Let me think. Well, Spider-Man 2099 had him.
Yep.
Pre-movie.
Yep.
Let me think. No, you know what? I think it was movie first and then they... No, it was definitely movie first because what they did is, in the comic book, he had a weird kind of spider rebirth.
I did, didn't
where
he?
Where he was in like a weird Spider-Man cocoon.
Didn't
and then
he turn into a spider and then burst out of a spider?
Then he burst out of a spider and then he had organic web shooters and he became stronger.
Yep.
So he became like movie strong because he's stronger in the movies, I think.
Okay.
And he also had the ability to communicate with spiders, which they've never mentioned ever again.
So, why would they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they've since magically retconned that.
Yeah, he's all back. He's back to the way. Yeah. Yeah. Do you prefer the mechanical web shooters or the organic web shooters?
I prefer the organic ones because, I mean, he's a spider.
Yeah. But would they come out of his wrists?
They'd come out of his butt, obviously, but... I mean, what? If he's got spider powers, but he's just got cling to walls and ESP...
Yep.
It's not really spider powers, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Not
you want
really
webs, you want webs, right?
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah.
Spiders don't really have ESP.
So basically,
how you can trap them under a glass.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You put a glass on them. That ESP, they'd figure that out, wouldn't they?
I put that in my video. I said Spider-Man, my video this week, Spider-Man's village should be a glass jar and a sheet of paper.
You know it should be.
So basically, there's a whole lot of Lego mumbo jumbo because Columbia owns some of the rights, MGM owned some of the rights, but they also owned some of the rights, both of them, to the Bond franchise. Because Columbia made that Bond film, that Casino Royale film.
With David Niven.
Yeah.
And Woody Allen.
Yeah. The spoof one in the 60s. So they could have continued to make Bond films.
Uh-huh.
And so they basically came to an agreement where Columbia got Spider-Man, MGM got Bond, done deal. And that was when Columbia then created the highly successful Spider-Man trilogy, and now in turn, the reboot sequels. That you love.
I love them so much.
But that's all the story for another day, Mason.
Oh boy.
I've written this here. I want you all at home to imagine me closing a big picture book, Shrek style, which is what I am doing now.
Nice. And the back cover's got a big embossed butt on it, with webs coming out of it.
So that is our podcast for this week.
That was pretty good.
We will talk about... all the Spider-Man movies, probably closer to the release date of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
So I should probably watch them all.
Nah. You've seen them all, haven't you? Except for the reboot.
Yeah, I've seen
it. Yeah. Do you remember?
Reluctantly.
Yeah. Because you hate those movies, isn't that right?
Yep, I hate them. I hate them and anyone who watches them.
Fair enough.
Yep.
All right, well, we may as well wrap this up. Next week, do you want to talk about anything?
I'd rather not talk about anything. Let's just make noises. So yeah, that goes.
Do you do any animal impressions?
I can do interpretive dance.
Really?
Yeah.
That'll work well.
I think so.
Yeah, cool. Alright. So, if you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, please do so at Weekly Planet Pod. That is also the name of our Facebook page. You can also hit us up at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. We've had a lot of suggestions for different shows that we can do, so we've got a bit of stuff lined up for
love
people.
It.
So if you've got a suggestion, please shoot it forward. Oh, a question one that somebody had this week. Do you want to see any Spider-Man spin-off movies?
Give me an example.
Venom.
No.
That's it?
Oh, no, you know what? I would kind of like to see Flash Thompson as Venom.
Yeah.
As, like, Agent Venom.
Yeah.
But how do you get there?
Yeah, how do you get there?
Because you need to introduce him, you need to have a likable Flash Thompson, then you need to have...
There is a Flash Thompson in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Is he a dickhead?
Yeah, he's a dickhead.
Oh, then.
But they have a kind of a moment.
Oh, where... okay, so he's redeemed.
Yeah, little bit. But yeah, he's not into that much.
What else would I like to see?
What about a Spider-Girl? Woman?
Yeah, fine.
What about Spider-Man 2099?
I'd say that. I would definitely say that. Great. Yeah, that would be really good. boy, I'd like to see a J. Jonah Jameson movie, but it's just J.K. Simmons from the original ones, and it's just him yelling.
Would
I'd say that.
Would it be...
It never leaves his office.
Yep.
And just a series of, like, weird... Like, employees come in, and they've got problems for him, and he just yells at them creatively, and then they leave, and then, like, more weirdness happens. And maybe occasionally you see past his head, like, in the windows behind him, you see, like, the Green Goblin and, like, explosions and he's fighting Spider-Man, but it's never referred to, and he never turns around because he's not interested. He's just interested in yelling at people.
That would be the best.
Yeah.
Did you just think of that?
Yes, I did.
That's great. Do you think it would be uncool? Because none of the actors have come back from the last Spider-Man movie. Except for Stan Lee.
Right.
I don't think he's got a cameo. Do you think it would be cool to get that same actor as J. Jonah Jameson back in?
Yes. Who do they have in the...
Nobody at the moment.
Yeah, bring it back.
I would love to see him back. He's great.
He's the best
one. He's probably the best part of those movies.
He's the most accurate to the comic books of any character ever, I think.
And he's over the top, but in a believable kind of way. Because I've worked with people who are similar-ish to that, I guess, in a way.
Yeah,
just lunatics in charge, you know?
Yep.
But yeah. Your Twitter is Wikipedia Brown, is
correct.
That right?
That is correct.
Mine is Mr. Sunday Movies. Please hit us up with any information you would like to say to us.
Just positive stuff, though.
Just really
negative. If it's really negative, I'm totally on board.
I still got to say, though, it's all pretty much positive.
Love it.
Yeah, which is great. So we appreciate
people
all
are
the
very kind.
They are.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, considering we're absolute fucking idiots.
I think they've been tricked by the accent. I don't want to pull back the curtain, but they're not aware that we're idiots because of the accent.
Okay.
We seem laid back.
Yeah.
But it's just we're idiots.
Yeah. Good.
Great.
Let's keep it up.
Yeah.
See you next week.
I'm going to eat this paste.
Good.
Nom 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 nom.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.